Begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Basra, daf Kuf Ches. Begin on the seventh line down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues and begins the eighth parak of Masechet Baba Basra, parak Yashneichen, which the topic of this parak talks about the halachas of inheritance. So on that, the Mishnah begins by describing four different categories of people that are included in what type of the definition they have in this halacha of inheritance. So the Mishnah begins. Yes, there are relatives that are Neichlin, that inherit their relatives when their relative dies. And also, when they die, umanchilin, then they bequeath to those same people their money, which essentially the Mishnah is basically saying that these people, these groups of people, are neichlin zeh and zeh, that they inherit each other. So why didn't it just say that there are those who inherit each other? It's because we wanted to say in the Mishnah that there are those who are neichlin, that do inherit, but v'loy manchilin, but they do not bequeath. So the Reish also said that these groups of people are neichlin umanchilin, but it basically means to say that they inherit each other. Then, the Yesh Neichlin, there's another group that they inherit their relatives, but if they die, Veloy Menchilin, but they do not bequeath to those same relatives who they inherit from. When these people die, they do not bequeath it to those who they inherit from. Third category is Manchilin Veloy Neichlin. They bequeath, meaning when they die, their inheritors get it, but Veloy Neichlin, they do not inherit from those other people. Which, this is essentially the same thing as we said that there are those who are Neichlin v'loy manchilin, that we said just before there's a category of those that inherit but do not bequeath. The inference is that the second half of that party are those who are manchilin v'loy neichlin, and that's what the Gemara is going to ask. So why was it necessary to say these two categories? One is obviously inferred from the others. If you're talking about groups of people, and there are those who inherit from the other one but not bequeath to them, the obvious inferring is that the other part of that party will bequeath but not inherit. And the fourth category is loy neichlin v'loy manchilin. There are certain relatives that do not inherit and do not bequeath to their other partner. So the Mishnah explains these four categories. The elu neichlin manchilin. The first category are those from those who inherit and bequeath, meaning these peers, they inherit from each other. First one is ha'av, the father inherits es habonim. He inherits if his child dies. And also he's manchil, if he dies, his son inherits from him. Now, obviously, if we're talking about, as we'll explain, if the father is inheriting the child, it must mean that his own child doesn't have children. But if his child had children, then actually, as the Gemara will explain in Amud Beis, they come before their grandfather. So too the other way, v'abonim esav. So too the child will be neichel umanchel to his father. Continues the Mishnah, v'achim ena'av. Also another one of this category that we're saying is neichel umanchilin, that they inherit each other, are paternal brothers. For example, Reuben and Yosef, who were the sons of Yaakov, even though they're from two different wives, Leah and Rachel, they inherit each other because they're brothers. For example, as it would have to be told about if their father Yaakov had passed away, but actually if their father Yaakov was still alive, he actually would be before the paternal brother, and obviously it would have to be told about also that the one who died, died without any children. Now, that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that specifically if they're paternal brothers, that, as the Gemara will explain, because paternal, meaning if they share the same father, that's called family in regards to the laws of inheritance, but if they're maternal brothers, then actually the halacha would not apply. So, says the Mishnah, this is the first category of those that are neichlin manchilin, that they inherit and they bequeath a father and a child and the father, and paternal brothers. Next category, ha'ish, a man, he inherits es imay, his mother. But it's not the other way around. He's not bequeathed to his mother. When he dies, his mother does not inherit him. The reason for that is because his paternal relatives will inherit him, whereas his mother, who he's maternally related to, is not called family. So to ve'ish es ishtay, a man, in regards to his wife, he inherits her, as we'll learn that in the Gemara. But again, as we'll say later on, she does not inherit him. So he's not manchatar. Uvnei achayis, and another one of this category, are the sons of sisters. They're neichlin. They inherit. In other words, a son will inherit his mother's sister because he takes over. He's neichlin. He inherits from his mother. And his mother would inherit her sister. Now, because if his aunt would die when his mother was still alive, his mother would inherit her sister. And he inherits his mother, so it comes out that he can inherit his aunt, his mother's sister's estate. But he does not bequeath to his aunt. The reason for that is because when the son dies, it does not go to his mother's sister. Rather, it's going to go to his paternal relatives. And the reason for that is, as we said before, because the mother's family is not considered family. Moreover, because how exactly would his mother's sister inherit him? Her whole claim to inheriting her nephew would be from her sister, because she's the mother of this person. The thing is that the mother himself cannot inherit him. As we said before, a man inherits from his mother, but does not bequeath to his mother. So all the more so that she cannot inherit her sister's son, which she's one step further away. Rashbam explains that we're actually talking about paternal sisters. But maternal sisters, then there wouldn't even be anything to discuss. Then for sure she cannot inherit, and he wouldn't inherit her, because that's again the maternal family. A different interpretation Rashbam gives for this category that we call in our Mishnah B'nei Achayis is actually that the Gir says U'v'nei Achayis, the sons of sisters, meaning that we're actually talking about the son of the sister of Reuven. For example, let's say the sons of Dina, who was the sister of Reuven. That's what the Mishnah is saying, is Neichlin, that they inherit him, meaning the sons of Dina will inherit Reuven, because Dina inherits her brother Reuven. And they come from her power, the children inherit the mother. But that's what the Mishnah says, but they did not bequeath to their uncle Reuven, because Reuven would then be coming from his sister Dina to come inherit. And the thing is that Dina herself cannot inherit her own children, as we said before, that a mother does not inherit the estate of her children. Rather than it would go to the paternal, it would go to the relatives of the husband of Dina, who they would inherit the children, because again, as we said, that it's only the paternal family that inherits, but not the maternal. And the Rashbam prefers this interpretation, because the next category, the Mishnah, which talks about those individuals that are manchel v'loy noichlin, which is a woman regards to her child, a woman regards to her husband, and the third one of there is achei ha'aim, the brothers of the mothers, says the Mishnah, manchel v'loy noichlin. They bequeath, but they did not inherit. Now, all these three are the inverse that we know from the previous category of Neichem Loi Menchilin, as the Gemara says that they're seemingly the same exact cases, just the flip side of that. Because that's actually what the Gemara's question is, that Achei Ha'em, the mother's brothers, is the same as Bnei Achis. So therefore Rashbam prefers this Girsa Bnei Achis, which is the flip side of that case, which is the same idea, which is the mother's brothers, that they bequeath to their sister's sons, and Loi Menchilin, which that would then say that this case is talking about not his mother's sister, but rather his mother's brother. It says Rashbam, even if you do have the girsa as we have in our Mishnah, Bnei Achayis, you could still interpret it as this case of Bnei Achayis. It would mean that the sons of the sisters of a person, although the Bnei Achayis would sound like we're talking about two sisters, it could mean them plural. Still, it's talking about the uncle, but it's talking about the sons of the sisters of a person, that they inherit him, meaning all the sisters' sons inherit him, but they're not manchel to him, where he does not inherit them. Continues the Mishnah with the next category, Ha'isha es b'neha, a woman regarding her sons, Ve'isha es b'ayla, a woman regarding her husband, Ve'achei ha'aim, and the brothers of the mother, Manchilin v'loy noichlin, they bequeath, but they do not inherit. And then we'll ask, as we mentioned before, that this is the same thing as the previous case, just the flip side of noichlin v'loy manchilin. From that you understand this case of manchilin v'loy noichlin, so why do you have to say both categories? And the final category, the fourth one is, Ve'achen min ha'aim, and maternal brothers, loy noichlin v'loy manchilin. They do not inherit, and neither do they bequeath one from the other. They don't have any relation regarding the halacha of inheritance. Rather, it's the paternal relatives of this one and then this one that inherit these individuals. Meaning, these maternal brothers have nothing to do with their inheritance. Rather, each one's paternal brother will inherit them, or whichever paternal relative is closer. Now, Rashbam points out that all these cases that we spoke about, the relatives that will inherit one or the other, that's obviously only if there's no closer relative than that individual, then we'll say that's that halacha, that this one at least has a relationship of inheritance. Moreover, even regarding those relatives that the Mishnah taught, loy noichem and loy manchilin, that they did not inherit neither bequeath, for example, like the maternal relatives, that says Rashbam, that's only if there are any closer paternal relatives who will inherit, and they're closer than maternal relatives. Now, and that would apply even if actually the maternal relatives have somewhat of a paternal relationship. But if, let's say, the relationship from the mother is closer than that of that who are coming at least with a paternal relationship, and there are no other closer relatives on the paternal side, like those who are maternal related, then actually the mother would inherit her son. And if the mother's not alive, then the mother's relatives would inherit this person, because ultimately there is a paternal relationship over there, because they're coming somewhat of the relative from the father's point, even though the mother is maternally related, but she's also related paternally somehow. So Rashbam gives a case. For example, let's say Reuven married Serach Bas Asher, which is his niece, and gave birth to Naphtali. And Naphtali died without any children. So he would first go paternally. His father Reuven would inherit him. Now, but let's say he has no father. So then the pasuk says, then you give it to the brothers of Naphtali. Now, if he has no brothers, so then you give his inheritance to his father's brothers, which is Asher, that is his mother's father. Now, if he doesn't have any paternal, if his father doesn't have any brothers, because let's say Asher is not alive anymore, then you give, like the pasuk says, v'nasatim es nachlos l'karvei lav, which are the sons of Asher, or if there are no sons to Asher, you give it to the daughters of Asher, which is Sarah, which although she's the mother, she will inherit her son, not because of the maternal relation, but because you go through Jewish geography, ultimately even the mother is going to be paternally related. So says Rashbam, it's not like it's saying that they cannot inherit. It's just the inheritance is not going to be from the maternal relation, but you could then ultimately have that even the mother inheriting a son, or even maternal brothers inheriting if the mother's not alive, which is this idea that it's going to come through a paternal relationship. Now the Gemara opens up by asking a question on the first category of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, it was told, Mad yesh neichlin machilin, those who inherit each other. So Mishnah de getoni ha'aves abonim bereisha, why did the Mishnah open up by explaining the case where a father inherits his son, and then also the opposite will bequeath to him? But at a time when a father inherits his son, it comes out that the son died while the father's still alive, and moreover has to be that he didn't leave over any children to inherit himself. Because if that would be the case, the son of the son would inherit before his father. And that's why the father's inheriting. So ask the Gemara, why are you opening up with that case? Listen, let the second case actually have been first. Talk about first regarding that a son inherits a father, and then yes, the other side that he would be manchel, for two reasons. Chada, first of all, we don't want to open up with punishment. This is a curse. When a person dies, A, first of all, without children, moreover, that his father sees his son die while he's still alive, the time of the Mishnah should open up with the ben noichelis av, because that's actually a blessing that a father could die and his son could be there to go ahead and bury him, as the pasuk says in Bereishis Membav, that Yaakov had v'yesev yashas yad el enecha, that Yesev will go and place his hands on your eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a havtacha, which was a blessing that his son will bury him. So first of all, why open up with a curse? Rather open up with a blessing. Moreover, as you continue to medbeiz, va'ayit kedichsev, and moreover, you should actually go in the order of what the pasuk talks about in Bamidbar, when it talks about the order, the hierarchy of inheritance, where it opens up by ish ki yamas, if a man dies, uven ein lo, and he doesn't have a son, then it goes on to say, okay, so who gets it? So the daughter gets it, so the uncles get it, so on and so forth. But it sounds like if there is a son, the son inherits him. So just like the psukim open up by the parsha of nechalis of inheritance, it opens up with the inheritance of a son from his father. So that's how the Tana should have opened up. Why does he open up with the father inheriting a son and not the son inheriting the father? Says the Gemara, because the Tana of our Mishnah, I did asile midrasha, since the halacha that's learned out, that a father inherits a son is learned out from midrash, it's extrapolated from the psukim, it's not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. So chavivile, as we find many times in Shas, that's more dear to the Tana because it's not an explicit halacha, it's learned out from drush. That is more preferable to him, it finds more favor because it's a chiddush, and therefore he says that case first and not the case of the son. So the Gemara begins now and says, "Umay drasha." So the Gemara now goes on, which continues into the next daf, and says, what is this extrapolation? Where do we find this halacha of the father inheriting his son? So the Tana learned the Braisa, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that opens up with a pasuk in Bamidbar. The pasuk there, it says, you should give his inheritance to the relative that's closer to him. That's what the pasuk there talks about towards the end of the order of the Yerusha. Says the Braisa, who is She'era? Who is this referring to? Who is the close relative? Says the Braisa, Zeha'av. This refers to the father of the one who died. And the pasuk is coming to tell you that sometimes a father will inherit a son, because we know that the word She'er, relative, means a father, as the pasuk says in Mikri Yotches, She'er Avichuhu, as the Gemara says later on. So too the pasuk says, Kim L'She'era HaKarvalov, that he could be metamet to the one, to the relative who's closer to him, which it says, Le'imoy La'aviv. So you see that a father is called She'er. Says the Braisa, Malamed, this comes to teach you, Shaha'av, the father of the one who died, is Koidim La'achen. That he comes before the brothers of the one who died. So for example, if let's say Reuven would have died without any children, and we use the Shvatim, the children of Yaakov, as the paradigm. If let's say Reuven would have died without any children, so Yaakov, the father, would have inherited and not his brother Shimon. And that's what the Gemara is going to continue and explain. How do we learn from here, from this pasuk of She'era, which includes the father that is before the brothers, and not that is before the sons or daughters of the one who died? Now, moreover, the Gemara later on actually will ask and say, but that's actually not the order of the pasukim. The word She'era is past these individuals that the Bryce is claiming the father comes before them. And that's what the Gemara is going to answer, that actually the pasukim are not in order. This that it writes Hakar Ve'lov, which sounds like in the pasuk that whoever is a closer relative comes first in the order of inheritance, is coming to clarify regarding the order of the inheritance, and that it's coming to tell us that the pasukim are not written in the chronological order. Rather, the halach is, as the pasuk says, Hakar Ve'lov Kaidim, that the closer relative is first to inherit. And actually, the way you have to read the pasukim is in a very different order, which is that when it says in the pasuk Ish Ki Yomus, that if a man will die Uven Einloy, and that he doesn't have a son, then you read the part Va'avartem es nachlos lebitoy. Then if there's no son, then you'll pass it on to his daughter. Then Ve'im Einloy Bas, if he doesn't have a daughter, V'nesatem es nachlos le'sheir akarav, then you'll give his inheritance to the closer relative, which refers to the father. Then you'll read the part of pasuk V'nesatem, that you give it le'echav, to his brothers. In other words, if there is no she'er, if there's no father, then you give us nachlos l'achav, then you give inheritance to his brothers. Then if there's no brothers, then menzatim es nachlos l'achav, then you give it to the father's brothers. And if there's no brothers to the father, then that's what the pasuk says, a karvel of mishpachta b'yarashayis, then the closest relatives, whatever you can get to, whoever you keep on going back, that will be the one that inherits. Now continues the Braisa and says, now, Yachal Yehei, now you would think even more than this. Not only that we said that the father of the one who died comes before the brothers of the one who died, you would think that Yaakov, the father, would be Koidim Leben, would be even before the son of the one who passed away, who we would call Chanoich, the son of Reuven. In other words, even when Reuven left over children, that his father Yaakov would inherit him. And the reason is because the son of Reuven only would inherit if the grandfather Yaakov wouldn't be alive. Now, says Rashbam, according to the Bryce's question, the order of the Pesukim would be as follows. Ish Kiyamas, when the person dies, B'nesatabes Nachlos L'Sheir, then you leave over the inheritance for his relative, meaning the father. Uven Einloy, and then if there's no son, then you'll say the Pesuk V'Avartabes Nachlos L'Bita, then it goes to the daughter. In other words, if there's no She'er, which we explained that's the father, and then there's no son, then who he inherits if there's no She'er, if there's no father, then V'Avartabes Nachlos L'Bita, then the inheritance goes to the daughter. So therefore, ask the Braisa, maybe that should be the order, that the father is always the first one, even before the son, is when his son passed away, when even if he has a son. Tamalema, that's the Braisa teaches. No, that's what the pasuk says, HaKarib, the close one, the relative, which is Karib, the one who's closest to the dead person the most. He is Kaidim, he's the first one in the order of the inheritance to inherit. And that is the son of the one who passed away. For example, Chanoich ben Reuven, he's closer to Reuven, his father, more than Yaakov, his grandfather, to his father. The reason for that is, as the Gemara will surely illustrate, a son takes over the role of a father, for example, in the halachas of Yiyud, and for the halacha of a steachuz, of ancestral field. Whereas a father, we don't find that he takes over the role of a son in any situation. And actually, Rashbam says that that's why, since it was such an obvious thing that the son is closer relative and takes precedence in regards to the dead person's father, that's why the Gemara didn't bother asking that, said, hey, why do you see fit to include the son and to exclude the father? Just like it asks shortly, where it's going to ask, hey, where did you see fit to include the son and to exclude the brother of the one who passed away? Because at least regarding the brother, we find that there is some type of relativity there in the sense that he takes over the role of his brother when he does Yibum. But by father, we don't find that at all. And therefore, that was obvious to the Braisa that when it says Hakarib, it means the son of the one who died and not the father of the one who died. But that's what the Braisa continues and says, Umari Isla Rabbis is Aben. But where did you see fit to include that the first one in the hierarchy is the son of the one who died, that he's before his grandfather, meaning the father of the one who died, and for sure that he's going to be before the brother of the one who died, meaning his uncles, when there is no father? And to exclude the brother and to say that the father is before the brother, and for sure the son is before who's before the father is before his father's brothers. To the contrary, I would say that we would include the brother, as actually we'll explain later on. So therefore the Braisa asks, how do we know to include the brother and exclude the brother, meaning his uncle, his father's brother? And that says the Braisa, no. Mar ben yesa ben. I would rather include the son, who we call Chanoich, the son of Reuben, that will take the place of his father for inheritance, more than Shimon, his father's brother, the brother of Reuben. Shekin kam tachas aviv liyad, though, because we find that a son takes over the role of his father regarding the mitzvah of Yud. In other words, if Reuven, the one who we're calling passed away, if he had purchased the Amma of Ria, a Jewish maidservant, the halacha is that if he wants to, he could take the purchasing price that he used to buy her as a maidservant and use that the father had given her of this girl, he can use it for the halachas of Kedushin, to create Kedushin out of it. He doesn't have to give new Kedushin money if he wants to marry that Jewish maidservant that he bought. Rather, all he does, even though he spent that money already, he says, "Hareat miyu edisli, you are miyu to me," as the pasuk says in Shemais Chafalef, that if the master is not pleasing for this maidservant and he won't do yid, the inference is that he could do yid. Now, the halacha is, the pasuk tells us over there that the son could do the same yid, as the pasuk says, "Vim livno yodano," if he does yid with the son. Now, however, that doesn't apply to any other person that could do yid with that money that he had used to purchase her. Only if he would go ahead and do a whole new Kedushin money. And the same thing would apply to this person who bought her as a slave. His brother would not be able to do Yud. Only the son could take that role. And Ulistei Achuzu, we also find that the son takes the role of his father regarding an ancestral field. As the Gemara Mesechtes Erichin expounds, in Perek Emakdishin, so too it's a Brais in Taras Kayanim, that the Pasuk says, V'im lo yigol es asadeh, if someone does not redeem his field that he sanctified, he gave it to Hekdesh, his Teachuzo, which is that the owner is Makdeshid. So the Pasuk says, V'im mocher es asadeh, now if he sells the field, which the Gemara there explains means to say that the one in charge, the treasurer of Hekdesh, goes and sells it, le'ish acher, to another person, which that tells us for a different person, meaning, and not the son of the one who is makdashit. Then the pasuk says, v'aya sod b'tzeisa b'yevul kodesh v'gomer, then the field that the yevul year will go out, it goes out to the kehanim, and it's given to the kehanim by the yevul year. But if it was not redeemed by an ish acher, rather by the son of the one who is makdashit, then it actually goes back to the father by yevul. But if the brother of the one who is makdashit redeems it, then it does go to the kehanim, as the pasuk says, le'ish acher, which is a different person, which is including the brother of the guy who is makdashit. But the son is not an ish acher. Now, actually, the Gemara there also asks, where did you see fit to include the son, that he's the one that's not the ish acher, and to exclude the brother? And there the Gemara answers, like it does over here, because the son takes over the role of the father, so therefore we see he's the one that's not the ish acher. Now, actually, as the Gemara will address later on, they're actually coming both from the same point, of which the Gemara will say later on, but the Gemara could not have said that a son comes before the brother of the one who died, and the reason why is because we find by inheritance, as we see in the order of the Pesukim, that the son comes before, therefore that should resolve regarding all these different questions that we say, let's say by Stei Achuza, and regarding the halachas that we're discussing, that the son should come before. Because it says, v'imin loy ben, it says if there is no son, then the pasuk says, v'avartem es nachlos labita. So then, okay, there's no son, you give it to the daughter. Then the pasuk says, v'imin loy bas, and if there's no daughter, then when the satem es nachlos l'achav, then you give the inheritance to the brother. So you see, in a different context, that the son comes before the brother. And that says Rashbam, that no, since as the Gemara will later on prove that the pasukim are not in order, rather, when the pasuk says akarav, which tells us whoever is a closer relative comes first, therefore we could have said that the brother comes before, whether to the father or whether to the son, and therefore that's why we needed to prove it from these halachas of yiyud and stei achuza, that we find that the son comes before anyone else. He's the only one that takes that role, and therefore he takes precedence over his father's brother. Now, on that the Braisa says back, adarab, to the contrary. Mar ben yesa'ach, actually I would include the brother first, and I would actually flip it around the pasuk, and I would read it ish kiyamis, meaning in regards to halachas of Yerush that we're talking about over here. We would read it as follows: a man when he dies. Actually, I would then insert the words v'nesatim es nachlos l'achav. I would put those words over there that you give the inheritance to his brother. Then, if there's no brothers, where it says v'imein loyachim v'nesatim es nachlos l'bnai, then I would say you give the inheritance to the son. And then, if there's no brothers and there's no son, then v'avartim es nachlos l'bita, then you give the inheritance to the daughter. And then v'mein lebas, if there's no daughter, then when the satam is not chlos l'sheir, then you give it to the closest relatives. And if there's no sheir, if there's no father, then you give it to the father's brothers. And if there's no father's brothers, then it's like the pasuk says, "I carve a love in mishpach, beyarish, whoever's the closest relative you can find goes." And the reason why I would say that actually the closest is the brother, not the son, shekein kam tachas achiv liyibum, we find that the brother of the one who passed away takes over the role of his brother for the lach of yibum. As the pasuk says in Dvarim Chafei, ki yishu achim yachta, when his brothers were living together, umeis echem, and one of them dies, the lach is, and if he has no children, so then his brother like takes over his wife, like literally takes over his role. Now, a son, however, cannot do yibum to his mother. So maybe the brother is a closer relative than the son. And that says the Gemara, no. Klum yesh yibum ele b'mokum she'im ben. The whole halachic concept of yibum, which is where finally the brother is taking over the role of his brother, is only when there is no son. Ha'b'mokum she'esh ben, ain yibum. If there is son, then there is no mitzvah of yibum. And therefore we find that even regarding yibum itself, which is the one place you wanted to say that the brother is better than the son, it's only because there's no son that the brother is taking over. But if there is a son, then there is no mitzvah yibum in the first place. So we still find that the son is stronger to taking over the role of his father than the brother, and therefore he's first before anyone else. Now, the Gemara actually asks on the Gemara's answer. Taima de'ika hayperche, it sounds like only because you had this question, therefore you said it's flawed to say that the brother would come first. Because what the place where he's stronger is regarding yibum, but that's only because there's no son. You see that when there's a son, he's the one that takes the role of the father. Halav hachi, but if not for that, havamina achad, if you're saying, then I would have thought to say that the brother is better. And that has the Gemara, but tebukle, but it should be enough as a continued type of kaftesim and alav. The hacha tarti, by the son, there's two roles that he fills for the father. One we said is regarding yud, marrying that Jewish maidservant. And one's regarding steachus, if he's makdish the ancestral field, he could go ahead and when he redeems it, it's not like another person, it's rather like the father himself, which it goes back to him and doesn't go to the kohen by yevil. And here by the brother is only one, that of Yibum. So we could have just easily said, what do you mean? The ones of the son are more than the one of the brother. Why do we have to give that answer that even by Yibum, the son is the one that's really the stronger one? And that says the Gemara, because Steachus Agufa, actually one of the two that we mentioned for the son, that of the ancestral field, there, the Gemara in Masechet Erichin itself doesn't say that the son takes over the role of the father more than that of the father's brother. Rather, mehai taimuhu de kokaimu leilatana. It's actually from that same reason itself that the Tana there says, as the Gemara there explains, the Gemara there asks, where did you see fit to include the son for the halacha steachuza and to exclude the brother? So the Gemara there says, oh, I include the son because he takes over the role of his father for yud. Now, on that the question is, what do you mean? I should include the brother who takes over the role of his brother for yibum. On that, the Gemara there says, klum yesh yibum ele b'mokim she'ein ben. The Gemara there has to say the same logic. What do you mean? The whole halacha of yibum is only when there's no son. Hayesh ben ein yibum. When there is no son, when there is a son, then there's no yibum. And therefore, the conclusion of the Gemara is that actually the Braisa had to say and create a flaw in the halacha of yibum itself of the brother, because we don't find anywhere explicitly that a son should take over the role of a father more than a brother. There's actually only one. The only one context that the Torah tells us regarding the halacha of yud, where, because the truth is, the brother also takes over the role of that person, his brother, in also one context regarding the halacha of yibum. So it would come out that really it's one against one. Because all the other contexts that we find that a son takes over the role of the father more than the brother, for example, like we thought we would bring a raya from Steachuza, or from like Eved Ivri, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin, or from the fact that a son comes before a brother by the halachas of inheritance, they're actually all learned out from this halacha of yud itself, where there the Torah says explicitly that the son takes over the role of the father. Now, but if we would not have answered and said that even by yibum itself, the brother is not really better than the son, because the whole halacha of yibum is only when there is no son, and therefore you see that even regarding that halacha, the son is better, we would not have been able to include in all these other contexts that, which includes steachuza, which includes inheritance, that the son takes over the role of the father more than the brother, because then we would be left with one and one. And therefore we have to say that no, it's not one against one, it's actually two against zero, because even that one of yibum that we thought the brother was better, it's only because there's no son, but when there is, then we see the brother doesn't do anything, we see that the son is always stronger than the brother. Now, later on the Gemara, on the next daf, will ask, that seemingly the halacha by the son and the daughter and the brother, as they're organized in the parsha, that actually they should all come before the father, because they're all relatives to the person who died more than the father, because they at least take over the person who died in some context, whether it be like the son for Yud or for the brother regarding Yibum, but by the father we don't find him taking over any role. So why is it that we said that the son goes first and then goes the father, which the father comes before the brother. Why is that? The brother should come before the father. But again, the Gemara introduced this brisa because it had asked, why do we start off at Yesh Neichel Machil and regarding father inheriting the son before the son inheriting the father? That's what we said, because the halacha of the father is not explicit, as we're continuing on the next daf, this context of what is the order of the father. It's only learned out from a drasha, from She'er, which includes the father, which that's what we said, that the son comes first and then comes the father. But that's why we said the order of the father first, because since it's Midrasha, therefore it's Chavivaleh, and therefore it was mentioned first.